Welcome to Press Any Button. I am Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we're talking about Katamari Damacy. Katamari Damacy is a third-person puzzle-action ball-rolling game developed and published by Namco. The King of the Cosmos has inadvertently destroyed the cosmos in an accident that may or may not have involved drinking and driving. As his son, it is your job to remake the stars by rolling up objects on Earth into a ball called the Katamari.
Ooh.
Does that sound about right?
That sounds perfect.
All right, let's do it. So, Nikki, you were telling me earlier that this game has a very long history.
I'm not sure if it's a long history, but it's an interesting history.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Cool. So, yeah, Katamari was developed and published by Namco for PlayStation 2, and it was released in 2004. Kieta Takahashi is the game's designer, but his story of how the game got made is not so straightforward. Takahashi was working as an artist for Namco originally, where he worked on a game called Action Drive to begin with. Yes.
Action Drive?
Action Drive. It was actually a game that never, I don't think, ever made it to fruition or whatever.
Oh, so it was a project that was never completed.
Yeah, it was a project that never made it to the masses. But Takahashi actually went to school for sculpture and art. And then when he graduated, he decided he wanted to do something a little more than just, I guess, straightforward sculpture. And that's how he got his job with Namco in the video game industry. And he was working with them just as an artist.
Okay, so like a 3D artist.
Yeah, 3D artist. But while he was working on the game Action Drive, he actually came up with the idea for some characters that would be central to Katamari Damacy. And this is where he comes up with the idea of the king, the queen, and the prince of all cosmos. Think about it. He's an artist, but he has a dream for something more. He wants to go above and beyond just creating art and wants to actually create a game.
Yeah.
So he gets the idea for... This is kind of the first draft version of Katamari, but...
Yeah, so just throwing stuff against the board, seeing what works.
Yeah, his first idea was the queen had been kidnapped by the agents on Earth, and the lazy king sends his prince to rescue her. So you'd be the prince rescuing your mom. To do this, you as the player would use a diminutive prince's head shaped like a hammer to stun humans, after which the prince would then drive the humans around by sticking a steering wheel to the back of the human's head. Takahashi felt this would lead to interesting and creative gameplay, allowing the player to create havoc as the prince followed the misguided suggestions from the king. And yeah, this idea got rejected.
So I'm just trying to imagine what the gameplay would be like.
Yeah, me too. So, it doesn't make sense.
So you're hitting people with your hammer.
That's like a head of someone.
Okay.
Right?
And then you're getting on them and putting a steering wheel in their head.
Yeah,
and driving them around.
I imagine them like being on all fours, like they're crawling and their head's up and like maybe the steering wheel's in the back of the head and you're steering them. Like almost
but
like riding
you,
on like a horse, sort of.
Once you get a human, like, why would you need more? Like, why does it not last for
I
long?
I don't know. This is probably why this idea was rejected. It sounds too complicated. You know, knowing like what the game ended up being, this doesn't sound as fun to me.
I kind of want to see this game.
Well, you're out of luck because that got rejected. So next, Takahashi continued to try to think of game ideas, seeking to grow beyond just an artist. He really wants to keep working at this. So he actually has cited two concepts that led to the inspiration of the final Katamari game. The first one is a prototype shown by Sony Computer Entertainment called Densin, which is Japanese for power line. And then there's also like a field day game that they play in Japan. They also play it here. I played it, but it's called Tama Korogashi. Basically, it's like all the students are pushing around a giant ball to get it into a specific goal.
Okay.
You've seen this game like in Fall Guys. There's like a version of this.
I don't think I've ever played this game like in a field day.
Really?
Or anything. Yeah.
Oh, we definitely did. There was this one camp I went to every summer where we played a version of this where there was a whole bunch of different sizes of balls. There was like small ones like beach balls, and then there was giant ones like probably 10 to 15 feet round. Like, so it was bigger than all the kids, you know. You'd have to have several kids pushing this ball, and like you got different amounts of points for each different ball you got into your opponent's goal. But yeah, it's super duper fun.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever even seen it.
Yeah, but pretty much he took the concept from those two games and eventually ended up with the idea where spinning a ball would roll ordinary stuff into it, and then the ball would get larger and larger over time.
Oh, yeah, and then you end up with something like the game.
Yeah. So when he gets this idea, at Namco, there's not really a straightforward process to where you can pitch your game if you're not like already a game designer. And so he pitches this idea to one of his friends who is a designer at Namco. That guy's like, yeah, this sounds like it definitely has potential. He pitches it to one of his former bosses. And this guy's name is Ozaki. I think that's his last name. It's O-Z-A-K-I.
Ozaki.
And he was his former boss, but now he is a manager for a different department. But also, this guy's like, yeah, this game sounds fun. It definitely has potential. And so then Takahashi is like, well, how do I, like, pitch this? You know, there's no, like, set way to do this. So Ozaki knows of a new program that Namco is about to start, and it's called Namco Digital Hollywood Game Laboratory. It's basically like their own school. So people who want to be game designers can go take this like fast course, kind of like an associate's degree sort of, or something like that.
Yeah, so it's like kind of like, ouch, okay, you got to go back to school.
Okay, he suggests this, but not like, from what I gather, Takahashi doesn't become a student of this school. So like, let me explain. So this school is basically a 6-month course aimed at helping developers learn necessarily skills to create games for PlayStation 2. And during this course, like at the end to graduate, you basically create like a prototype game.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like a big class project. Well, Ozaki suggested that Takahashi pitch his game for this class, basically so like the students can work on his game as their like final project or whatever. So basically, through this class, he was able to get a bunch of students to help him create the prototype for this game. Because, for one, it's kind of a simple game that junior designers can help create. You know, it's like they're just creating items and stuff like that, mostly, to get rolled up into the ball.
Yeah, just basically like really simple objects.
Yeah. But he also was able to gain some visual design artists from Namco to help with the prototype, and he also had difficulty getting any game development engineers on the project. So just because the project was low priority at the school, none of the higher up game developers were like gonna stop what they were working on to come help with this. So he actually found out, unfortunately, some of the game engineers from Namco's arcade division, they were about to get laid off. So he was able to convince 3 of them to join the team as well.
Wait, so it sounds like the Namco rejects.
Kind of. He's got students and he's got some people that were about to be laid off creating this thing. They actually created the prototype for Nintendo's GameCube, which I think is interesting. It said that PlayStation had just come out and they didn't supply software development kits for, I guess, people to make games, or to make it easy for developers to make games for PlayStation 2.
So this started on GameCube.
So what they basically did is they programmed it or whatever for, or designed it, wrote it, whatever the term is there, for Nintendo's GameCube, because they had sent out these kits, and I guess it was a lot easier to make stuff for GameCube.
Okay, so then the question is, why did they switch over to PlayStation 2?
Exactly. Well, it was supposed to be for PlayStation 2 all along, but this was just for the class, I guess, and to create a prototype so he could pitch it to the higher ups.
So they developed it for GameCube, even though originally they wanted it on PlayStation 2 because they didn't have a PlayStation 2 dev kit.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a wild ride, okay? It took... Look, Katamari almost did not happen. A lot of things had to happen for this game to get made. And so finally, you know, all these people create this, like, prototype of Katamari. And everyone thinks it's really fun. So it gets the Namco, like, green light for full development at this point. Okay. Yeah.
So they're finally happy with it. So yeah. At that point, they decide, okay, we can make like a soundtrack.
They basically had something to play, they were like, okay, let's go for it. This is, you know, a good game. So in 2001, that was in 2001 when that happened, they start working on it to be for PlayStation 2. And I guess that maybe Namco's like only does PlayStation games or something. I'm not really sure why they had to switch it from GameCube to PlayStation 2. But for whatever reason, you know, they needed it to be on PlayStation 2. So the team had a budget of 100 million yen, or about 650 to 800,000 American dollars.
Okay.
And a team of about 20 members. it took them about a year and a half to develop the game, and then 8 months of prototyping it, and then it was released, as we said earlier, in 2004.
Okay, so they basically made a tech demo, and then they developed that into a full game.
Yes. But yeah, it like almost didn't happen if Takahashi wasn't so persistent. You know, like any other person might have been rejected once and be like, okay, maybe I should just stick to being an artist. Maybe my ideas aren't good enough, you know?
Yeah.
But he was very persistent and kept going until it got made, and now it's kind of got a huge cult following. I would say a pretty successful game.
Yeah, no, it's a great game. Yeah, it's interesting. He just really wanted to see that ball rolling simulator come to life.
Yeah. So Takahashi said that the team was aiming for four key points in developing the game: novelty, ease of understanding, enjoyment, and humor. Do you think they achieved those goals?
Pretty much, yeah. Sounds like a pretty good checklist of everything that is in this game.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought that I wasn't expecting this story when I picked the game, which I always think is the great part about doing these episodes, is like you just pick a game because you like it, and then you learn all this crazy like history and the story of how it became to actually be.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just think it's awesome that he wasn't even a game developer. He was just an artist, and he wanted to do something more, and he did it. He made it happen. And I actually think now his next goal is he wants to create a playground for children, like in real life. So I think that might be his next goal if he hasn't already done that.
So not even technology or video game related, or just...
No, just like a legit... playground.
All right.
But I'm like, if he's designing it, I'm sure it's gonna be pretty cool, because
yeah,
like that game is super fun,
pretty weird or silly or something.
Oh yeah. So Eric, are you ready for some fun facts?
Yeah, let's hear the fun facts.
Okay, well, you know, we got to talk about the music, right? Because the music for this game is awesome.
Yeah, it's really good.
It actually won IGN and GameSpot's Soundtrack of the Year in 2004 when it came out. Several composers created all the music. It wasn't just one person. But Yu Miyake seems to be kind of like the head composer.
Yeah.
And when they gave them the brief for the video game, it was pretty much open for them to do whatever they wanted. Well, I love that. They didn't say, hey, be fun and spunky. They didn't say anything. They were like, here's the game.
That's,
make the soundtrack pretty much however you want.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because the soundtrack matches so well with the game.
Yeah, it's so good. And the songs feature many J-pop singers that are very popular and anime voice actors, people like that. So cool. They tried to pick people that people in Japan would kind of know.
Yeah.
Which I thought was super fun. I read this interview where someone said the Yumiaki guy would just, like, when he was getting, like, writer's block or whatever, he would just walk around in the halls with a tape recorder, like, singing little melodies and stuff. Like, na 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 na.
Yeah, it's pretty much what that sounds
imagine,
like.
Yeah, I just imagine someone walking around the hallway back in the day.
Well, you actually get that little clip at one point in the soundtrack of just that, na na na. Like,
yeah, and I wonder if that's
and
him.
It sounds like you hear a click and then, like, some scratching.
Oh, man, that's probably actually him. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if, like, he did put that in there, but I saw it was cool. So it's just like a big collaboration, many composers, many different singers, even anime voice actors.
So Namco, like, at one point, I guess they eventually got to the point where they were like, oh, let's go all in, let's get all these big singers and stuff and on this game.
No, the budget was still
okay, so
100 million yen.
So they managed,
like, a little more than half a million.
So they just managed to land all these people for not all that much money.
Yeah, I read, and I forgot where I read it, but someone said where they tried to pick singers and people that people knew, but that haven't really come out with anything in a while.
Okay.
So I don't think it was like Billboard Top 100 artists at the time, but maybe like formally.
So they're going with like budget, but like name recognition artists.
I guess so. yeah.
Well, what would be the equivalent of a singer that would have name recognition, but would maybe do a project like this, you think?
Maybe like Cyndi Lauper, or I don't know.
I'm trying to think, like, maybe someone on, like, one of those boy bands who wasn't, like, the main guy.
like Lance Bass.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So, fun fact number two.
Oh, Creed.
Creed, oh, God. No, 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 no. That's my yeah, that's my impersonation of Creed and
really
Katamari.
That was,
thank you.
I thought Creed was
so
in this
much.
Room.
Good night. I'm done. I'm gonna bow out. Fun fact number two. Katamari Damacy was seen as a sleeper hit, and because of not expecting it to have such critical success, retailers didn't purchase enough copies to meet demand.
What? They didn't see the random ball game and be like, this is going to fly off the shelves, probably.
Yeah, so once it was listed as one of the best games of 2004 by Time freaking magazine, orders were flying off the shelves, which meant video game retailers were scrambling to purchase more, and like people just couldn't get their hands on this game that like everyone wanted.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I just love it when they think a game is going to be a sleeper and it comes out and people are freaking obsessed with it, you know? And it's just like,
well, I mean, I could also see this game getting like no attention too, so.
Yeah, for sure.
It's one of those, you just don't know.
It seems so simple. Like if someone just tells you about it, it does not sound nearly as much fun as it is
just
when you're actually playing.
You're just rolling a ball over objects. And their objects are sticking to the ball. That's all it is.
It sounds really lame, but when you're playing it, it's really fun. Oh my gosh. It's so easy to get like obsessed with.
Yeah.
So fun fact number three, it took 14 whole years for Europe to get a Katamari Damacy game.
That's nuts because there's been so many. There's, well, not a ton, but like there's
like
the main one.
Least.
There's like, there's one for PSP. There's a couple for PS3.
There's been spinoff games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they got Katamari Damacy Reroll. That was their first one that they got, which came out in 2018 for Switch and PC, and 2020 for PS4 and Xbox. So,
and all
that is crazy. That's the first time they got the taste of the King of the Cosmos and his wacky family.
So, Reroll is just like a
remaster version of the original one, right?
Yeah, although it plays exactly the same as the original. So,
except I think like the like booster move and stuff like that, like the quick turn, I think that is Isn't that new?
No.
To the reroll? Okay.
Nope.
For some reason, I was thinking it was. I guess no. I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
But yeah, I thought that was crazy, man. Poor Europe. Like, why are they so far behind? Like,
yeah,
I don't understand why. I mean, 2004. Like, the internet it's not was like, a thing back then.
It's not like it wasn't successful over here.
Yeah, why can't someone just send a copy over there? Like, I don't get it. But yeah, I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
And that's all the fun facts I have. Do you have any?
No, I do not. It's a good game. That's a fun fact.
All right.
I had the soundtrack at one point. I downloaded it like back when I was in college.
Oh, yeah. Nice. It's a really good soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Eric, you kind of went over this in the intro, but basically, if you want to give us a breakdown of the game, the story of the game.
Sure. From what I remember, so the King of the Cosmos is out partying with his friends.
Getting wild. Getting crazy.
They're driving around. They have an accident and destroy all the stars in the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah, and instead of fixing it himself, he tasks his son with recreating the stars in the sky.
The prince,
by rolling around a Katamari on Earth and just picking up random objects and then throwing that into the sky.
Yeah, totally makes sense, right?
Yeah,
That's legit science right there.
Yeah, and, who would have guessed it? Takes about 9 stars, the moon, and a few constellations, and that's all the stars in the sky. There's like
no
that's
one
it.
Will know. No one will notice anything. We're good. It reminds me of if you were ever little and you tried to like open your present to peek in there and then you tried to like rewrap it, like your mom would always know that you tried to rewrap it because like it looked crappy.
I don't think I ever tried to do that.
Oh, dang. Maybe it's just me.
Well, I definitely tried to look through the closet before to find the presents before they were wrapped.
You never tried to just like untape like the edge so you could unfold it and like just look at the side?
No.
Dang. Okay.
I knew better, Nikki.
Well, I was a little rebel as a kid. My mom, I got in trouble a lot, so it's fine. All right, Zerk, you want to start with our pros of the game?
Yeah. So like I was saying, the soundtrack is really good. I had it back when I was in college. The soundtrack is as weird as the game, and it has a good variety of genres.
Yeah.
It's great.
I love the music, too. And it gets stuck in your head, but it's also not, like, so distracting that it takes away from the game. Like, it adds to the game. It makes you feel excited and, like, joyful while you're playing it because, like, most of the songs are pretty, like, upbeat.
And they're all about, like, Katamari and rolling.
Yeah.
Rolling
most of them are in Japanese. Like, there's a few that are in English. I don't know if that's just the ones that are here. I don't know if the Japan version has English songs, but the one did have some in English. But I read that, like, the original concept that they started with, so you obviously the ball gets bigger as you make it, but then what they originally wanted was like the bigger your ball got, the more like chaotic the music got.
Oh.
And then if you bumped into something or if you lost a bunch of your like loot, then like the music would slow back down. Like it kind of
If you're in a groove, it would like, yeah.
Yeah. But like people complained that they didn't like it. Like it kind of took them out of their momentum that they had gained when like the music slowed back down,
I mean, the music is great and you're just kind of jamming out to it.
Yeah.
So I can understand why that would not be good.
Yeah. And apparently also it was kind of hard to program the ball like getting smaller. Like it kind of does that a little bit in the game, the final version.
Yeah.
But I think they wanted it to be more drastic, like of a size change.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I would imagine like in the original one they tried to come up with, like your size would fluctuate more and then therefore the music would kind of fluctuate more with like crazy chaotic to like simple.
Man, that'd make the game a lot harder because I run into so much shit when I'm playing this game.
But like, I guess people didn't like that. So obviously they ended up with the music and everything that they have now, which I really like. So
yeah,
I approve that decision.
Good job.
Yeah.
What's something that you like?
Oh, this game has so much humor. It's so quirky. Like the King of the Cosmos is hilarious. He looks hilarious. The animation is really good too, but like, the characters are unique and funny and it's quirky and like I don't know, you're just playing as a ball, picking up random ass shit. Like, you pick up everything from Q-tips to stamps, all the way up to, like, trees and buildings and
islands.
Cruise ships.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And, yeah, it's
and
just
clouds and rainbows and
a lot of humor. Yeah, you're picking up eggs that hatch when you, like, when they get stuck to your ball, like, all kinds of random stuff. Like,
yeah, you can tell that the devs had so much fun making this game, and it kind of comes across in the game itself. It's just so silly.
Yeah, it's like chaotic and quirky and funny, but it all works together just harmoniously, you know.
Yeah, and I also like the fact that, you know, it could also be a horror game.
What?
I mean, you're literally rolling up human beings in this ball. And then you're like rolling up like a car or something. Like,
that's true. There's people, no way those people are surviving.
Those people are getting crushed, or even bigger, like a building or something like that.
That's true. I really didn't think of it that way, but yeah, I can definitely see what you're saying.
There's certain parts where you're like, you're rolling this giant ball, like coming over this bridge into this island. I can imagine
like
being one of those
bridge, yeah,
people on the skyscrapers looking at it in terror as it's coming to like crush
and
everything,
like,
and pick everything up.
And there's kind of like a side story, right, where you're following this little family that's kind of like seeing what's going on the news and stuff.
Yeah.
And like by the end of the story, you have rolled them up in your Katamari ball, right? Like,
yeah.
I think you roll up their like apartment building or something. And so it's like they let you get to know this family, and then it's like, oh, you kind of murdered them. But well, don't think about that.
Yeah, and you're also like, even if they don't die in the ball, you're also shooting them into space,
so
they can
be
stars.
So they will definitely die.
So they will definitely die either way. This, yeah, the fun tone is definitely needed for the fact that you literally are probably murdering people.
Oh, yeah. Don't think about that, though.
Don't think about it. For me, I like the fact that you can like literally roll up just about everything that you can think of. You can start off like the size of a mouse, and then you're rolling up the house that you started in and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. It does a really good job of like progressively, like your items just get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And like your perspective changes too. It's like when you start out, a Q-tip is bigger than you, but by the time you end, a Q-tip is like way smaller than it actually would be, because you're rolling up stuff like houses, like you said.
Yeah, it's actually like a really cool effect that they do where it doesn't take you out of the game. It just kind of like fades. It does this like kind of fade thing where like all of a sudden, like you can't see the really, really small objects that you could see before, but you can see bigger objects now.
Yeah. And I don't know, sometimes they trick you though. It's like you'll be able to roll up, say, I don't know, some like handcuffs, but then you won't be able to roll up something that's smaller than that for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? This doesn't make sense. If I can roll you up, I should be able to roll you up. But
I always thought it was kind of like more density of the object itself.
Yeah.
Because usually
I think that is what they go for, like the weight of the object.
Yeah. I think that kind of factors into it.
One of the things you need to know while you're playing is you don't need to like run into anything really hard, because then like some of your stuff falls off of your ball and it gets smaller. So it's like, if you're like going full force towards this object, you're like, I can definitely roll that up. And then it's like, bam, halt. And then you lose a bunch of your stuff. It's like, dang it.
But you got to go fast, babe.
You got to go fast.
You got to go fast.
I like how simple the game is. Like, you learn it. You learn all the controls in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
There's a tutorial, but honestly, you don't even need it. You can learn it all like just playing the game for 2 seconds.
Yeah, you know, the main learning curve is just figuring out what objects are small enough to roll up for you at any given size.
Exactly.
Any other pros?
Yeah, it's a pretty short game, which I think is nice.
I actually had that as a con.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's the right length for the game, because honestly, I don't know, I beat it in a day, but I got like super like obsessed with it, and then like my thumbs were hurting and all this stuff. I don't know if I'd recommend playing it all in one day. especially not if you're very enthusiastic like I am, where you're like pushing the buttons down really hard because you want to try to do better.
This game will eat up your thumbs. Like, even my thumbs will hurt after playing this game for too long.
Yeah, but I don't know, I kind of like that it's short, but You don't like that?
I wanted more. I want more Katamari.
I do want to play some of the other games, though. Like, now that I know there's like four or five other games,
I want to get some of those. They're like mostly on PS3. I don't know if we can go back and get them.
Yeah, because I looked on Switch because I was wanting to buy another one, but I didn't see any other ones on Switch. So
yeah,
that sucked. But
there needs to be more Katamari games.
Yeah. Other than that, I just like that this game is kind of addictive. You get like kind of, or at least I got like kind of obsessed with it after I started playing it.
Yeah, you definitely.
It's like you just don't want to stop. You just want to keep going, keep going.
Oh, I bought it twice. So much I like this game.
Yeah. Other than that, you know, like stuff we already said, the game is really random, the quirky characters. I think it just all comes together really well.
Yeah.
Really fun game.
Good project overall. Good theming.
Yeah, would recommend.
Would recommend.
Pretty much any age could play this. You know, kids can play this. Adults can play this.
So what about cons?
So I don't have a whole lot of cons. My main one is like the booster control. Oh. You have to basically move like the two joysticks up and down.
You got to waggle them.
You got to waggle. Is that a word?
I don't know.
I think it's toggle. Is it toggle? Anyways, you gotta like move your joysticks up and down, but like opposite, like so the left will be up, the right will be down, the right will be up, left will be down. You have to do that really fast to like kind of zoom in short little sprints. And like, I can do it, but it's kind of almost not worth it because I waste more time trying to do the motion and then it ends up not working. And it's like, I could have just pushed the ball regular.
Yeah, I agree with you. It feels like such an unnatural motion. But at the same time, they want it to be challenging, so you just don't boost all the time. I get that, too.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can't just make a boost button, although I kind of would prefer a boost button.
I did try. I went into the settings, the control settings, to see if I could just make it be like right bumper or something, and there wasn't a way to do it. So. But I got pretty good at just rolling the ball around normal. Like, I'll tell my strategy later. But,
Yeah.
What's something you didn't like? I guess the length of the game.
Yeah, it's a tad short. And then some of the areas get recycled over and over again. And they're only about like 20 levels or so. So, you know, you start in the house, the next level's in the house, the third level's in the house, you know.
That's true.
And then you go into another area.
But it does keep expanding and expanding. That's so true. You can go to more and more of the house.
That's true. They do open up different parts of the area that you're in. They do change out the objects that are in there, so you have to change your strategy, so you can't just pick up the same objects each time.
Yeah,
you're going after completely different objects and a kind of slightly different layout. But you know, it's, to me, I want more Katamari. It's my cowbell.
I am not a big fan of like that you can't skip the tutorials even if you played the game before. Like, I just wish there was a way to skip, because I started a new game, and but they should have a way for you to skip that, just because I bet a lot of people start over and start new games with this game, you know, just to, like,
mandatory tutorials are always a way to get you a negative check, I think.
Especially for me. Really, tutorials are all negative.
Well, you have to do some kind of way of introducing the players, and the less it looks like it's a tutorial, the better off I think it ends up coming across.
True. But like, also other little things, like you can't skip some of the dialogue. So like, for example, I was trying to play the same star over and over just to like see if I could get my size to be bigger, just trying to like basically break my own best record of like the size of the star. And so like each time you start the star over, you have to hear the same dialogue. You can't skip it. And it's like, I wish if I had already made the star, I didn't have to hear him or read all this text again.
Oh, I thought start button skipped the dialogue.
Well, I didn't figure out how to do it. Well, it wasn't easy to figure out if you can. So I had to like read all the text and like, I don't know. It just was just kind of a nuance, but nothing like that ruins the game or anything.
Yeah, you know? No, I know the end of the level text you can't really skip, where you get his reaction to your star.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can skip those little dialogue blurbs by hitting start.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Dang it.
But there are some unskippable parts, and I agree with you on those.
Yeah. That's kind of all I have. Like, I really like this game, so I don't have too many cons.
I just have a couple more.
Okay.
So for the most part, the ball rolling physics are pretty good, but occasionally the ball gets stuck between two objects.
Oh my God. Yeah. Sometimes it gets really stuck.
Like, and it's really, really tough to get it unstuck. And then you helplessly watch all these items flying off your Katamari and you're like, I can't
move. It's so depressing. You're like, no.
All that work.
Not my cassette tapes. Not my blenders. That happened. That doesn't happen that often for me, but man, I was playing today and I like rolled up on this one area that's on an ironing board and it let me fall down through the crack, but then I couldn't get out and I was stuck there for probably 30 seconds. I was like, so I didn't, honestly, I thought I was like stuck. But then I persisted and I got out. But it was close. I almost didn't beat the level because I lost so much.
I think it's part of just the problem of having a dynamically sized thing.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
It's, yeah. And like one of the kind of fun things, but also frustrating things is like we said, I think it is density. So it's by weight. So sometimes you can pick up something that's like long and cylinder, like a pencil or something like that.
Yeah.
And it'll make your ball like lopsided. Yeah. So like it makes it harder to pick stuff up because you're not rolling like a circle. You're rolling like a circle with a pencil sticking onto it. So there's like a big chunk of the side of the ball that's kind of hard to like get it to roll on the ground to stick to things.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's not really a con. That's more of like just something that makes the game more interesting.
Yeah. I like that. And my final con is the bear and the cow level. They're terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not bad ideas conceptually, but they're kind of the opposite of what you're normally doing in the game.
Yeah.
So in most of the game, you're trying to pick up as many objects as you can. A lot of the constellations, you're trying to pick up as many like crowns or
crabs,
twins or whatever weird thing eggs. They want you to pick up. But there are a couple levels where it's like, all right, I just want one bear as big as he can. And then there's another level where it's like, I want one cow just as big as he can.
But the problem is they have cows and bears of all different sizes. Like they have some that are basically microscopic and then they have some that are like statues. So the problem is if you roll over something and you don't see that it has a bear on it, you're going to end up with a tiny bear.
Yeah, they hide bears and cows all over the place. I mean, if you pick up a pylon that has cow print on it, it counts as a cow. So part of it, you just don't honestly know what it considers a cow or a bear.
Yeah.
And then the other problem is it's really hard to see some of these small objects like you were saying.
But at least you can play those over and try to get your strategy like better each time.
Yeah, I don't think that they would be that bad if you could easily restart once you picked up an object.
True. Yeah.
The thing that I can't stand is it will throw you out of the level. You'll have to have a conversation with the king. You'll have to go all the way back to your home planet. Then you'll have to go back. You'll have to reselect the level. It's just like...
Yeah, and probably hear the dialogue again.
Yeah.
Unless you can actually skip it. But yeah, that was like kind of what I was saying too. It's like if you just want to replay the same star over and over just to try to get a better score.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of time in between.
Yeah. Or even just a like, okay, I know this one isn't going to be good. Let me just restart. There's not an easy restart button.
I would definitely have liked there to be an easier way to just restart or replay a level without taking so much time.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it for me.
Yeah. Cool. So what is some of the strategy that you have?
So most of the strategy just comes in learning the layout of the levels and figuring out what size you need to be in each area. You can definitely get to some areas too early and not be able to pick up anything. Mm-hmm. But you also don't want to spend too much time in any single area trying to get every single object in there when you could, you know, be moving to other areas.
Yeah. There's definitely like a learning curve, like obviously starting with the small stuff, but learning when to move on to like the next size up.
Yeah.
You know, and not spending too much time on little attacks and like things that are like going to be.
Yeah. They're not going to grow your Katamari very much.
They aren't going to grow your Katamari very much.
Yeah. That's most of the strategy is just like, learning the level layouts, learning what objects you can pick up and when.
Exactly. Yeah, learning the maps, that definitely helps because then you kind of know where certain stuff is, where certain like areas are and all that.
If you really wanted to, you could probably go through and like route what the best path is for each level.
Oh, I'm sure. I watched a speed run and it wasn't even like the record speedrun or anything. It was just a speedrun.
Yeah.
And I think it was like less than 30 minutes that the guy did it in.
Oh, wow.
And he was obviously using like the zoom control a lot, like almost the whole time. And I was like, I don't understand how you're doing this.
How are you boosting so much?
But I'm sure if you're doing speedruns of this, you definitely probably have like a route in your head that you know is like going to be the fastest way.
Yeah.
Another thing is, well, for me, I found that like going in straight lines was the best. So like my strategy is like, I'll just go in a straight line as far as I can until I hit like a wall or something. And then I just do the quick turn move, which is basically where you jump from one side of the ball to the opposite side of the ball. And then I would just go straight line back. So I would just like do straight lines as much as I could. Because I found like, as satisfying it is, as it is to like go in a circular motion, because you're like kind of picking up maybe more stuff, it takes you longer. So like for me, just going in straight lines and coming back in a straight line, like I got the same amount of stuff in less time.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of go back and forth depending on what I'm doing.
Yeah. And obviously there are certain spots where like rolling around in a circular motion is beneficial if you're like in a big pile of candy or a big pile of like Legos or something that's gonna add a lot of girth to your ball. It's worth spending a little more time to get those objects, but yeah. Like especially at the beginning, like for tacks and like pennies and stuff like that, is like just going in a straight line, like pretty much trying not to go backwards if I don't have to, like just going straight, or like even if it's going around the whole room. As long as you're not doing a lot of turning and stuff like that, I feel like it's faster.
Yeah, you definitely want to be looking where you're going and stuff like that, too. My last bit of strategy is, like, as far as finding the presents, they can literally be anywhere and require you to be about any size. Like, some places you'll only be able to squeeze into when your Katamari is still small.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, like, get it as big as you can, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So the main thing is just trying to take different routes to explore the levels when you're these different sizes to try to find it. It's actually pretty challenging to try to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The best way is probably just to look up the locations online.
It's a cheat.
It's not cheating.
I have a couple more. Obviously, I think if you can master that boost control, that's going to be the most helpful like part of strategy.
Yeah,
like you can just boost and do these short little bursts and get a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
gonna be
I
faster.
Just never figured out how to get it consistently. It just never felt natural. Like,
yeah,
to
me
do
either.
It.
And then also, like we kind of already said, was try not to get your ball stuck and try not to ram into things really hard. Because every time you ram into something really hard that you can't pick up, like a bunch of stuff falls off. And then Obviously, like getting stuck in places, you know, you're going to lose a lot of your things that you've picked up, like trying to get out of there.
Yeah, I've found that like one of the main things I get stuck is like as the Katamari is getting bigger, if I'm like if there's like a roof or a bridge over it, mm-hmm. like I'll get stuck under that or overpass or something.
Yeah.
So I've just like try to avoid going into tight spaces once it gets too big.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty good strategy. But that's all. That's the last two that I had. All
right. So moving on to the future.
Moving on.
Is there any future for Katamari?
I actually can't really find anything.
yeah, there's no.
Did future. You find anything?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's no new games.
Oh,
that
oh
have
there's
been
gonna
announced.
Be a horror movie.
Pretty sure you're making that up.
Walk, don't run. It's the Katamari.
Oh man, that would be a good horror movie, honestly.
Right? No, I just feel like almost every game we look up, it's like, oh, there might be a show or a movie. this one would really be pushing it to come up with a movie, but I don't know, some world disaster movie or something, you know. I'd watch it probably.
Yeah. So I'll say that the creator of Katamari's most recent game is called Watam. It came out in 2019. But even after watching the gameplay trailer, I have no idea what it is.
Wow.
It's just like, I don't know what's you're having people hold hands or something. I don't.
Huh.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Okay. Well, they need to get better at their trailers, I guess.
maybe just a conceptually out there game, kind of like this.
Yeah. So, Eric, your challenge was to find all 15 presents because this comes out around Christmas time or winter holidays, whenever you celebrate.
Yeah.
So yeah, so my theme, even though this wasn't a Christmas game, I feel like it definitely has the spirit of Christmas because, one, you're trying to pick up as much stuff as you possibly can.
Consumerism.
It's like shopping. Yeah. But also, how do you find all the presents?
Yeah.
Which is Christmas presents.
Yeah, Christmas presents. Yeah.
So, did you find all 15?
So, gifts? I got 9 out of 15.
Dang.
I can tell you so exactly. Close. I can tell you exactly where I gave up.
Oh, where did you lose all hope?
So the cow level, yeah, the one where you can only get one cow. I tried like over 10 times. I have no idea how you're supposed to get it. So so if you pick up one cow, the level ends, right?
Yeah.
So you have a ramp that's surrounded by randomly moving little calves that you have to boost off of and pick up the present in midair.
Oh,
and there are also a bunch of randomly moving calves at the bottom of the ramp. So odds are you only get one try to do it.
Yeah, because you're going to pick up a tiny calf.
Yeah. You also need to get your Katamari to the right size before getting on the ramp, because if it's too big, you'll accidentally hit, like run into one of the calves as you're trying to get. You also have to do one of those boost moves, and it takes me forever to freaking do one of those. And then if it's too small, you won't be able to go far enough to get the present. So...
Gotcha.
It's just so, like, it's very just, tricky.
We need to look up on YouTube someone doing that, someone finding all the presents or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I could have looked up, but that would have been cheating, I guess.
Yeah, that would have been cheating. And I specifically said not to look anything up, so.
I didn't. So I don't have all the presents.
So sorry, Eric. I don't know. I thought that was a pretty good challenge. I didn't realize how hard it was, but we'd already beat the whole game and we played a bunch, so. I didn't want to give you something too easy.
I mostly kind of got frustrated on finding some of the presents on the very like open levels that where you can go over like this whole giant area.
Just too many possibilities.
Yeah, just like, man, there's so many places you can go at any given time.
Now I know when I looked up, because I was looking up the trophy. I think this is called like the King's Presents Trophy. I forgot what it was called.
Yeah.
But it only had like 22% of people had the trophy, so.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people have found all 15 presents.
There are people who probably did it. It probably would have been a lot easier if I looked it up. But
20%, that's not a lot of the people that have played the game. So
just the hardcore fans.
So sorry, Eric. I guess we'll have to listen to your rap.
All right. I'm the king of the cosmos. I'm throwing back those strong bows. I'm smoking all those bong bros. Got a 50-foot dong hose. Been up all night, high as a kite. Driving sight to sight with a 40-year Lafite. Got a little wreck, just mail me the check. Put the pedal to the deck and now my car's Shrek. It's not like I destroyed the entire universe. Would it help if I put the car in reverse? No? Okay, I guess it's pretty bad. I can see that you're actually getting really mad. It's sad, I know, but how about this? I go behind the car and first I take a piss. The prince can fix anything amiss. A disc, abyss, or even a bad lisp. Don't dismiss, let me give him a call. He'll even install a tall wall in your stall. One call, that's all, and sit back and watch a paw. Okay, my son's small, but he's got a big ball. Install, redraw the entire night sky. No one will realize that things went awry. You know I wouldn't lie, let's give it a try. And I swear, officer, I'm only a little high.
Oh my gosh, Eric, that rap. You're so ridiculous sometimes. Leave it to you to make Katamari about your dong hose.
It's a silly game, you know. It deserves a silly rap.
You know what? Good point. I am a little scared, though, now that I gave you that challenge and you said it was hard. So hopefully you're not going to get retaliation
I don't think it's just that bad.
Okay, so what game are you picking next?
I'm excited because technically, even though it will be after Christmas, the holiday season won't be over when our next episode comes out.
Okay.
Yule will still be going on.
Okay. What is Yule?
It's a great question.
Should I Google it real quick?
Yule is like a Scandinavian Germanic celebration. It's like the pagan
roots. Are you making this up?
It's like the pagan version before Christmas.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Yule is a festival historically observed by the Germanic people.
Yeah, so, you know, all you Yulers out there, I'm sure there's a lot.
And it doesn't end until January 1st.
Yeah, so it's still going to be happening.
Awesome. Good job, Eric.
Yeah, so I picked a game.
So we're playing a game all about Yule. We're going to be in Germany.
It's not about Yule at all.
We're going to be drinking beers.
It's set in Norse mythology. So, okay. So you have like Odin and the old gods.
Okay, so what's the game?
The game is called Odinsphere.
Odinsphere?
Yeah, Odinsphere.
Okay. What kind of game is it?
It's an action RPG. It's a 2D action RPG.
Okay.
That's very heavy in story.
All right. And sounds different.
It's very good. I love this game.
Have you played it before?
I'm excited. I got about halfway through, I think, before I lost my PS2.
Oh, so sad. Oh, but now we have PS2 again.
Yeah, but now I don't have the game disc anymore, so I had to rebuy it on PS4. But
so many games you're having to rebuy.
That's worth it.
Worth it.
So are you ready to hear what your challenge is?
I'm a little scared, but you said it wasn't so bad, so I do trust you since, you know, we're married and stuff.
Okay, so the challenge is finish reading 3 out of the 5 books. Ugh.
Reading? If I wanted to read, I'd read a real book.
Well, no, the story is presented as books. So
this sounds too much like Myst.
There's 5 books, 1 for each character.
Okay, so I have to read 3 out of the 5 books?
Yeah, you have to finish 3 out of 5 books.
How do you know if I've finished them? Is that like a level or something?
Yeah, so the next book will be available. So you'll have 4 books available.
Okay. All right, sounds kind of lame, but
no, it's a great game. It's a great game.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah, get excited.
You'll not be disappointed in me.
I'm sure you'll do great.
Thanks, Eric. Someone's got to have faith in me.
You got to have faith. I think it's basically getting 3/5 of the way through the game.
Okay.
That's a challenge.
All right. A little more than halfway. I can do it.
All right.
All right. We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
As always, if you enjoyed our episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or if there's anywhere else you can leave us a review, do that. It'd be awesome. We also would love to hear your thoughts on the game if you've played, and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitch, wherever you are. We're there too. All right, see you next time. Bye.